doing the whole 6010.
My name is Daniel Dopp, joined by my friend Mike Clay. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, although I was just looking at these tins that are right out in front of us here.
A few of them.
And I just want anyone to know, like, if you're watching on the video, that right before we went on, Daniel reorganized these to put them in his fantasy rankings order for the year. So Justin Herbert, QB1.
Wow.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts all the way down at 6. So we got Hurt for those without video. We got Herbert first, Mahomes second, Burrow third, Trevor Lawrence fourth. Bold take there.
Bold take.
Dak Prescott just, that's about right.
Fifth. Yeah, Dak Prescott.
And then Jalen Hurts with the disrespect down at 6. So I personally thought that was a bold statement by you to put them in that order. But
sure.
And Josh Allen, not even in the top 6. Wow.
Well, you know how I feel about Josh Allen.
That's true. That's not even very disappointing. It's disappointing that we don't have a Josh Allen tin. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it is disappointing. We need to get one. I got these because cards came in all of these.
Oh,
and so like
you're a card guy.
I am a card guy. So like they all came in that. So that was
fun.
Can
you come over to my house? I have my dad's cards, my cards. Can you go through them all and value them for me? I'll give you 10% of the profits.
That would be so much fun. Right,
let's do it. Let's do it. Summer activity.
I am very into coming over and diving through you and your father's card collection.
I have a lot of Mark Martins. I have a lot of Chad Penningtons, Andrew Jones. Like they got to be worth $5 at most total.
Yeah. Similar to the Field Yates card that we had. They probably in the one digits.
Very
close to that. Hey, you and I are hanging out today.
We sure are. We sure are. The draft is coming a couple
draft
weeks away.
Draft is close. Yes. Yes, it is. Stefania off, boondoggling as she does. Field doing a bunch of draft stuff.
Yeah,
as
he's been vacationing for a month or so now.
I haven't even seen
that guy
draft anywhere.
Stuff must be easy.
It looks like it.
That's easy. There's how many guys get picked? We know most of them. I mean, that seems easy.
Like
he's
30.
There's no way he's studying long snappers and fullbacks and punters, is he?
Do you have long snapper projections?
I do not. Okay. That's the only position that's not a real position to me. Like, look, every team, there's no way to measure how good they are. And every team has one.
Yes.
And that's all you need to
know.
I don't need to keep track of those. But punters, returners, returners is tricky. I've been working on that because now with the new rules, we're going to have maybe 3 times as many kick returns.
Yep.
So last year it was hard to even identify returners because a lot of teams just never returned it. And now it's going to be a lot
different.
It's going to be quite different. We could have multiple guys returning a lot. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff on tap.
There it is.
There you go.
They're all metaphors.
Yeah. A lot of stuff that we are ready for today. We're going to be filling a lot of voids for some teams based on what the draft is looking like, Mike Clay. But first, let's get things kicked off with the opening drive.
Hey, what show is this? Is this FF Now? We need a sound effect for
that. Yeah, we do need a sound effect.
We have a sound effect for FF Now, so we got to catch up.
How you doing? Here's the thing.
I'm good.
We already did this. I know we already did this. We did an eclipse before the last time I saw you.
Yeah, we did. What was your, what's your level of interest? Like 1 to 10? Like it's fine. 10 is like, wow, I need to travel to see this thing.
It was a 2, probably.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I was busy. I was busy shopping. It's been a topic for another day, but it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I was out shopping with the girls and it was cloudy.
Did you
in Connecticut
that it got darker?
It got a little darker, but it just looked like a cloudy day. So there wasn't really much to see from that perspective. But yeah, it's what it is.
Saw on the internet, this is probably my favorite. I saw a footage of the eclipse. We have it from a Twitter user.
Oh, that's right. I saw this. I retweeted this. So if you miss it, we have it.
This is really cool. If you are watching our YouTube stream,
here
you can see it right here.
This
from
is
Mitch
unreal
Brewer.
Video.
And if
there
you
it
watch
is. There's
right
the sun.
There, the eclipse
there goes
starts
the eclipse
happening.
Across.
For those that are just listening to the podcast and don't get to see it,
this
Mitch
is brilliant.
Took his fantasy football trophy and just had it slowly come into frame and cover up the sun. So then he sent it to his league so that you can know that. Yep, that's the eclipse, guys.
I just, if I receive this and I thought, okay, my buddy just saw the eclipse and wanted to send it, fine, I'll watch it, and then saw that, I would be so mad.
I would be mad. I would also chuckle.
That's so good, though.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was
I love
a good
that.
Low-key troll.
That was my favorite footage of the eclipse, for sure.
I agree.
So shout out
you.
To Mitch. Well done.
You. Hey, can you imagine, really quickly, I was just talking to Rosie about this. Can you imagine, it's like 300 BC, right? You're out there, Mike Clay. You're doing your fantasy pocket talk. I don't know if you're big into those ball games.
Would I be chiseling
Lions.
Fantasy projections?
Potentially,
into,
yeah. And then all of a sudden,
stone.
the world just goes dark. And you're like, what is happening?
What is that giant thing blocking the sun?
I can only imagine. Like, nowadays, we talk about it as fun. Everyone knows that it's happening. But, like, can you just, for 2 seconds, put yourself in the brain of someone that, like, doesn't have the knowledge that we do?
I think about that all the time. I mean, just trying to eat things or how things were first cooked. Yes, or
who was like, I want it. That's a thing that I should try to eat.
Yeah, like, that just came out of that chicken. I'm going to eat that thing. Like, like, who thinks... like stuff like that. I think about that all the time.
All the time.
It's bizarre. Oh my gosh.
All right, really quickly, wrap this up before we get into our football talk. I do want to say, I have been covering a bunch of UFL stuff. Mm-hmm. Me and my buddy Scooby Magueza are doing a show called UFL Today with Joey G. Check that out, 6:30 p.m. on Sunday night, a full recap of the UFL slate. The entire weekend, we go through all the games. We talk about a ton of fun stuff. So definitely go check that out. And then I write a sports betting column with my dude, Matt Willis. So check that out around the UFL as well. Spring football has been fun, dude.
Matt Willis, one of the, there's like five NASCAR fans on campus, and he's one of them. He's one of them guys. He knows what he's doing. So I think we all know each other. We actually get together on Sundays. We talk and watch the races in silence because no one's allowed to know. Like we're an F1 company. We don't talk NASCAR. So
last thing before we get into our big topic, filling the voids for teams that have lost players or just need to be able to fill a hole in their roster.
Yeah, this is fun.
Rashee Rice saga. This is not a fun topic.
No, that one is not. Yeah,
coming up as a fun topic.
You set me up big time there.
That was tough. We have the Rashee Rice situation that is going on, Mike. Right now, here's what we know. Just recently turned himself in, trying to wait and figure out how all of this is going to shake out, what it's going to look like for us and the fantasy community. Right now, it doesn't, very thankfully, nobody was hurt from this situation in a very serious way. I heard there were a couple of minor injuries, but I think we're all kind of waiting to see what is this going to mean from a fantasy perspective with Rashee Rice. And we're all kind of waiting to see what that's going to happen and how it's going to look like.
Yeah. So if you missed it, it was March 30th, Dallas Highway. There was a traffic incident sent, reportedly street racing.
Yep.
A couple cars got collided. And like you said, minor injuries only. A lot of charges here, which looks concerning for him. 6 counts of collision involving bodily injury, 1 count of collision involving serious bodily injury, 1 count of aggravated assault, according to the warrant. 8 total warrants or charges, excuse me.
That is all felonies. The scene and all the stuff that happened
So we'll see how this plays out in the legal process. I did reach out to a friend of mine in the industry, might follow him on Twitter, and I'll grab his handle in a minute, which I did not note down because I don't prepare very well, but he's a defense attorney, Drew Davenport. You could just search for him on X if you would like. Does a great job with this stuff over the years. He's a defense attorney, so he'll kind of, and a fantasy football fan, so he kind of rolls through it, what the charges are, and just kind of gives an idea of what to expect, what he thinks the league will do in terms of a suspension, that kind of thing. And believe it or not, he's projecting 1 to 2 games right now. He says he doesn't necessarily think it'll go as high as 4. A lot could change. I know it's a lot of felonies that could always change going forward. And there's more information that could come out and change his assessment or his projection here. But I just want to say that because I think there's people out there, and I've seen it in a league you and I are in. Rice is already getting traded in leagues back and forth. Just let this play out. If you have him on your dynasty roster, let this play out. You don't have to go out and just trade him for a 4th round pick just to get something back, right? Just hold tight for now.
Okay. Good to know. Let's dive into, Mike. We got a bunch of voids that we are going to fill. Filling the Void with Mike Clay. It's going to be a new segment that we have.
Is that right? We're going to do that year round? How are we going to do that?
Yeah, probably at least once a year.
I don't know. We could figure out a clever way. We're working on some fun segments for the season, so maybe we can
do something like that.
But this is cool. So we'll make some predictions on obvious holes and lineups relative to fantasy.
Yeah.
And I'll let you take it.
I've got Mike Clay's projections in front of me. I think this is a very cool thing. You tweet this out every single year. Mm-hmm. Right now we're in the off season. You always have a big updated projection model of the entire roster for everybody's team. So definitely go check that out. Mike, I think you have it pinned right now as your pinned tweet.
Yeah, it's my pinned tweet. You can find it on ESPN.com as well. It's just a massive PDF. I don't even know how many pages it is now, like 90 or 80 something.
80 pages.
Yeah. So all the depth charts, rosters, projections for every team, projected leaderboards, team standings.
It's awesome.
Strength of schedule. I do have the schedule for next season in there out of order. We don't know the order of games yet, but we have the opponents. That's all in there. So it's a lot of fun to do. I keep it updated year round. So I just decided I'll clean it up and share it with everyone. So, you look through those teams specifically at the 4 key fantasy positions, quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end. And you're going to look at that and you're going to say, wow, like there's a major void there. This team has to address this position. They're not going in to week one with Rico Dowdle as their running back in Dallas, for example.
Right.
And so we picked out the ones that really stand out, and we're going to kind of talk about what the circumstances are and how they might address those positions in the draft with some predictions from both of us.
I love
so you
that.
Get the most right.
Yeah, I think you probably will get more.
I don't
right
know. I was a little
will,
bold, but I feel like, so we'll see.
Let's start this off, though. Arizona Cardinals have the fourth overall pick in the first round this year.
Oh, by the way, we should mention this. We skipped the first three picks because it should be quarterback. Yeah. We know Caleb Williams almost definitely going to Chicago. New England and Washington are the third and second pick in that order, probably going to take a quarterback. Could New England trade down? Maybe, but I think they're probably,
we're going to
assume for the sake of this exercise that it goes Caleb Williams and then either Jaden Daniels or Drake May.
Yeah.
Second and third. So we'll go to pick four.
So they're going to wait to the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals lost Rondale Moore.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Hollywood Brown. Right now, Mike, I'm looking at this projection sheet that you have. You got Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch as the top two wide receivers. Obviously, Trey McBride, the standout young tight end there as a pass catcher. Uh-huh. But it seems obvious to me, and it seems obvious to Mel Kiper Jr. and Phil Yates. You look at their latest mock drafts. They have both Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. Which direction are you going to go, though, at the four spot?
Yeah, so I agree. I believe their first pick in the top half of the first round, if not, if they stay put at four, it will be wide receiver, wherever they go. So my prediction is they trade down. They seem like they're open to trading down, and that could be because they don't feel Harrison's the number one receiver, or because there's maybe three, four, maybe 10 guys they like a lot because it's a very deep wide receiver class. So I think they listen to some of these teams like Minnesota, who maybe wants J.J. McCarthy. So that's my prediction. I think Arizona trades down with Minnesota. The Vikings jump up to four.
Wow.
And take McCarthy. We'll get to that later. But I think that if that moves Arizona down to 11, there's still a chance that they get Rome Odunze. So that's what I have them predicted for here. You know, good size, 6'3", 212. Maybe not quite the prospect of Marvin Harrison, but maybe they like him to be very similar. And if you add another, like a future first round pick from Minnesota or another, you know, something like that, that might be worthwhile. So like him a lot, and he would step in. That'd be a great fantasy landing spot for any of these top three. There's a lot of good receivers, but the top three really stand out. So I have pick 11 overall. Odunze goes to Arizona.
So I get what you're doing there. I understand the trade to get more picks. I understand the space, the gap between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Odunze may be small. I don't know how the Cardinals feel about it. That's like an organizational thing, right? But I just feel like I'm in this don't overthink it phase. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. looks to be the cream of the crop here. He is one of the best college wide receivers to come out in the last 10 years. And that's the thing that we've talked about, to be able to pair him with a guy like Trey McBride and to give Kyler Murray a legit true wide receiver one. I realize that's what Rome Odunze can do, but you're playing with fire by trying to drop all the way back to 11, Mike.
I don't know, but think about it. Do you go, all right, you have an NFL roster right now. You're a GM. Do you take, Minnesota's two first rounders this year,
they
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you take Harrison, just Harrison, or do you take Odunze and another first round pick? That's the decision you have to make. Do you think that gap's really wide and Harrison's worthwhile? Then fine. You stay put and you take him. If not, you take that first, and you might get more.
Assuming that
you might get two firsts and a third or something.
If he doesn't make it to 11, then I'm assuming.
Well, you can move back up. You know, we saw Miami do that pretty recently. They could always jump up a couple spots, but the way I kind of mocked out the first 11, and I could see him getting there. I really could see him getting there.
I like to know that Mike Clay as a GM is just out here wheeling and dealing.
Always. If you're not sitting there trying to trade down, and we're going to see him more and more now because GMs are just getting smarter and smarter.
Oh yeah.
There's so much value in trading down. So 100% Arizona, I believe, has said they're listening. So, and they would be right to. And look, you don't get good value on it. If it's a first and a third or something they're offering, then no, you stay put and you take Marvin Harrison. But
So I went Marvin Harrison Jr. You went Rome Odunze, obviously with the reason of being able to get additional draft assets, which is fantastic. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So I like that, by the way. Regardless, we think one of those receivers goes to Arizona and it's going to be excellent for fantasy. Trey McBride will soak up a lot of targets. James Carnell will be busy, but that's it. I mean, Michael Wilson, we like him, but probably best as a two. Kyler Murray, I mean, that offense was really good. They scored at least two touchdowns in every game he played last season. I mean, they were cooking offensively. Some of it was garbage time, of course, but Kyler's still one of the best in the business, so that'd be a good spot.
Do you, if Marvin Harrison or Roma Dunze goes there right now, and I'm looking at this projection, Trey McBride getting the most targets on the team, does that wide receiver immediately come in and get more targets than Trey McBride, or is he still going to be?
That's interesting. That's interesting. I did. So I wrote an article recently. It was the things I learned while compiling those projections. And I wrote about Trey McBride because his target share last year would be, it's not sustainable. I mean, it's just not sustainable. It'd be one of the highest. I think it would have been the highest target share or second highest target share of the last decade tight end over a full season. I think it was Mark Andrews 1 year was way up there. So he's not going to match that. His targets will come down. So if he's in the 20 to 23% range, which is still high for a tight end, still enough to be a top five tight end, I think that receiver they take in the top half of the first round would be very similar. So yeah. I'd say close. I think close in targets.
All right. Let's move ahead and talk about the Minnesota Vikings. They did a mock trade with the Chargers for the 5th overall pick. And that is where I think, you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but like, you just lost Kirk Cousins. You've still got Justin Jefferson. You've got Jordan Addison. You got TJ Hawkinson that eventually will be coming back. I don't know how you go into this season not saying we've got to find the signal caller for the future. That is not a shot at Sam Darnold. It just feels like Sam Darnold is a guy that's a, he is a holdover right now until you get the guy. So when you look at this roster, the only thing that feels like it needs to be updated right now is the quarterback position. Moving up the draft, I think makes a lot of sense. If you look at Fields, Yates and Mel Kiper Jr., excuse me, they both have J.J. McCarthy coming off the board and going to the Minnesota Vikings. Mike, where are you at on this decision?
Yeah, so same thing. I have them going with McCarthy. It just feels like a perfect fit, just him going from Michigan up the street, essentially. Not really up the street. I don't know which highway you should take,
close.
But it's close enough. It's in the same part of it. It's in the Northeast, right? Is that what we talked about?
I think Minnesota officially is
I wouldn't call that the Northeast. Yeah. Okay, Ohio, maybe. We have a conversation. But Minnesota, not so much. What is that?
It's just the Midwest.
It's just the Midwest. Yeah. Okay. So I agree. Look, Sam Darnold's been a backup for a while. When he started, he's shown flashes at times. He did that with the Jets. He did that with Carolina.
Yep.
But he just hasn't shown that he's going to be a consistently good NFL starting quarterback. And maybe that changes. Like, we've seen it with Geno Smith. He came around. Maybe it works out for Minnesota. They feel good about Darnold and go another direction. But I do think they need to address quarterback, and again, I'm projecting they trade up to the 4th overall pick and take J.J. McCarthy. Very interesting, super efficient, productive, a winner at Michigan, but that was an extremely run-heavy offense, don't know really what his ceiling is in the pros. But that's my prediction. Like you said, they have the skill guys. They need the quarterback. I think they try to do that.
Yep. Because they had Kirk Cousins, they've got all the pieces. Now they've just got to go back out and find that guy to be able to distribute the football.
Yeah, so. I'll tell you what, though. Whether it's McCarthy, someone else, whether it's Darnold, whoever ends up being the quarterback there, assessing Justin Jefferson is going to be interesting this year, no matter what the situation is. We've already struggled with it. You know, is he quarterback proof? I mean, he was kind of inconsistent when he came back last year, but he had some big games with the backup quarterback situation there. Yep. So he's a tough one, but we've seen superstar receivers, kind of zigzag depending on who the quarterback was. And he was in a very pass heavy, high scoring offense with Kirk Cousins, and it worked great. When he was out, he was still good, but not quite as dominant. So he's going to be a tricky one. I think at the end of the day, we'll rank him where we have him now, which is a mid-range wide receiver one.
Cousins played about half the season, give or take.
Yeah, right? But Jefferson was out. Yeah,
right.
Remember, he was out. So they didn't play much together last year.
So then he was catching passes a little bit from Kirk Cousins, but then also from Nick Mullins and Josh Dobbs and Jaren Hall.
Yeah.
Right.
And he had a couple big games.
He really did. I think he averaged 20.2 fantasy points like on that. So like the idea, I'm interested. It looked like he was fantasy quarterback proof last year in like this fill-in situation. But I want to know, like, over the course of an entire season, no Kirk Cousins, how is this offense going to be impacted? That's going to be a really big one. Yeah. I, for what it's worth, am also taking J.J. McCarthy on this one. I think it just makes too much sense here. So
yeah.
I think we both got to go with that decision and give the Vikings a signal caller to make sure they're able to get the ball to their young assets.
Yeah, by the way, I think we're still going to stick with Jefferson as wide receiver one, but I'm worried about Jordan Addison. I think he'll be overdrafted. And TJ Hawkinson, the ACL makes that one tricky.
Yeah.
You know, late round pick, but you might miss a month. You might miss a month, maybe more. Maybe it takes some time to get going, and he won't have Kirk Cousins. So there's a lot of reasons to skip him on draft day as well.
Which is tough. Mm-hmm. Are you only saying that because I have TJ Hawkinson on my dynasty roster?
No.
It's weird. I have TJ Hawkinson and Trey McBride, and you were just like, Trey McBride's rate is unsustainable. You're saying bad things about both of my dynasty.
I think you'll be okay. I think you'll be okay with those guys.
Those two guys are not bad.
Yeah. McBride can afford to lose targets.
Yeah. He's still in
a good spot. He'll be fun to watch in that 4 p.m. slate this year.
All right. Let's talk about the New York football Giants. Have a pick here at number 6, Mike Clay. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems obvious to me which direction they need to go. I'm going to read off on your projections all of the pass catchers that are projected to have 750 or more receiving yards on the Giants.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
And that's it.
None of them.
Nobody. You don't have anyone
every year,
projected
it's the same story.
750 more years. Like, so we got Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Darren Waller, if he's still going to come back and doesn't retire. This is a team that paid a boatload of money to a quarterback. And that quarterback doesn't have enough weapons to throw the football to. Mike, they got to go out and get a wide receiver. If I look at Mel and Fields' latest mock drafts, they have Malik Nabers going there. I feel like this is one of those decisions where you've got to make a decision one way or another. It's got to be a wide receiver, though, right? Do you at least agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think so. Could it be a quarterback? Could they make a shocking development, you know, shocking move?
You just
paid
so much money to a guy and never even gave him the opportunity to see what he looks like.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think they probably stay put with Jones for salary reasons, and they get a wide receiver. Because that's the thing with Daniel Jones. I don't know that he's ever going to be an actual superstar, but he hasn't had a stand-up group around him at all. Nope. And, you know, he really struggled early last season. This offense was atrocious, but I would like to see them go out and get a superstar. So Nabers could be the pick, but based on the trade I made earlier with Arizona moving down, I have the first receiver coming off the board at 6th overall.
I know you do.
The Giants are going to be sitting there like, I can't believe this just happened, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting there waiting for them at 6. So that would probably be a shocker if he made it that far.
That would be.
But the way with that trade up to 4, it's definitely possible. So I do have Marvin Harrison dropping to the Giants, but I think Mel and Fields' pick of Malik Nabers makes a lot of sense as well.
Yeah, I followed suit and went with Malik Nabers because I already had Marvin Harrison Jr. coming off to the Cardinals. However, if he is on the board here and you are the Giants, you run as fast as possible to the podium to turn that card in if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. So regardless, they've just got to find a guy to be able to be the number one pass catcher for Daniel Jones in this offense to understand whether or not this $40 million a year option can be fully realized or if they need to move on. So,
yeah, I'm with you. And by the way, you mentioned this in passing, but I don't know if we have, you know, confirmation on Darren Waller's future. There was a day a few weeks ago where the Giants on the same day signed 2 veteran tight ends. And I thought, do they know something we don't?
I'm wondering.
But he is considering his future. I have to imagine the team will hope to get an answer from him by the draft in a couple weeks. So we'll see how that plays out. Probably at this point, if he isn't retired yet, you would think he'll come back, but it's not for sure yet. So keep that in mind.
You never know. You never know with people. All right, let's move ahead and talk about the Los Angeles Chargers filling the void for them. And they've got a handful of voids on this team.
Add an S at the end, a lot of voids.
There's a lot of voids. All right, here's the deal. Chargers have lost some guys. Mike Williams now with the Jets. Keenan Allen now with the Bears. Austin Eckler with the Commanders. Basically, the Chargers, as we've known it from a skill position perspective over the last 5 years, is
even Gerald Everett
different. Yes,
Gerald Everett moves on to the Chicago.
Running backs now are Gus Edwards and Isaiah Spiller. Top wide receivers are Quentin Johnston, Josh Palmer, Darius Davis, and then your best tight end is Will Disley.
Yeah, bringing a blocking tight end. What do you think they want to do? Gus Edwards and Will Disley. What do you think their plan is?
Boy, I wonder if they have a running, like a coach that just likes to really run the football.
Yeah, and a coordinator. Yeah,
and a coordinator that really likes to.
Yeah,
do
they're going
to
run the ball.
So they got pick 11 and they got pick 23. For what it's worth, at pick 11, both Field and Mel have them going with J.C. Latham. And I'm fine with that. Like, it's tough to argue with. Let's protect our franchise signal caller.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. It looks like they need right tackle help. Obviously, they have Rashawn Slater there, but could use another tackle. So
So then pick 23, their second pick in the first round is really where it starts. Mike, I think you at least need to get one wide receiver, if not two. If you're at pick 23, which direction are you going to go here?
Yeah, so first of all, by the way, if the draft goes how it went for me, I could see them taking Marvin Harrison with five or receiver. Well, not shock, should not shock us at all. I mean, again, they have a left tackle, so they definitely could go wide receiver because of what they currently have.
Right now, they have picks 11 and 23 because of the trade that they made in this exercise with the Vikings, just in case that was confusing to anybody.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, absolutely. So they could go that direction early on, but I'm with you. I went tackle with them with that first pick early in the first round. I don't have them trading back. I have them taking all with that fifth pick and getting a tackle.
Yep.
So with the 37th pick, I actually have them taking Ladd McConkey, who I like a lot, wide receiver out of Georgia. Kind of more of a Keenan Allen than a Mike Williams, right? He's a possession guy, kind of gives you like the Cooper Kupp sort of vibe, the guy that's just going to soak up targets in the intermediate and short range. So I like him a lot. And I think he might go a little earlier than that, but I think that would be a good fit for Justin Herbert, just to get a guy that could be like the Kupp to Stafford. He would be that for Justin Herbert, and very well could have like a Puka Nacua type rookie season. I keep making the LA comps here, but that's a guy that's would be a possession guy. We'd love him in PPR, good quarterback, an offense that, you know, this team's probably going to be around 500, maybe below. They're going to have to throw it a lot. So that's the first void. We have receiver and running back as notable voids. The first one filled for me is McConkey early in the second round.
So then who's your second? If you have a second player that you're going to throw in here.
Yeah, my second would be a running back to go along with Gus Edwards. I don't think they're done at the running back position. You can't be. Gus Edwards has never been a featured back. You expect maybe 200 carries and 10 targets. Out of Gus Edwards,
that might be it. He's still season.
Yeah, so I went the easy route here. Okay, their coach is Jim Harbaugh. He's coming from Michigan. We just mentioned they were a very run-heavy offense.
Oh, interesting.
And who is their running back?
Blake Corum.
So I have a fourth round pick. I'm not as high on Blake Corum, which makes this tricky, but I have with their pick 105, fifth pick of the fourth round, Blake Corum. Again, another guy that can jump right in there and compete with Gus Edwards for that role as their lead back. So and a guy that, you know, he's a capable pass catcher, so he can get involved in that direction. That's what they need. They need a more dynamic guy to go with Gus Edwards.
All right, so you went Ladd McConkey and Blake Corum, which I can't argue with. Totally makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. They do need to get another pass catcher there. I went with the 23 overall pick with Adonai Mitchell, and then with the 37 overall pick, I went with Ladd McConkey because...
Two receivers, okay. I like it.
I don't feel like Quentin Johnston showed me enough to be like, yep, we can just leave him alone. He's wide receiver one for sure on that team. And Josh Palmer, as much as I've been a Josh Palmer fan, last 2 years, he's had a lot of opportunities to kind of take the reins there when guys have been hurt, when Mike Williams or Keenan Allen have been hurt, and he hasn't really done that. So for me... I'm not worried about them running the football. We got running backs galore that Jim Harbaugh can go through in the NFL. What I want is wide receivers for Justin Herbert and to have him get back to that MVP level because he's got guys to be able to distribute the football to. I want as many wide receivers there as possible. I'm not worried about Jim Harbaugh running the ball. I want him to throw the ball a little bit more. He hasn't even started coaching yet. I already want Jim Harbaugh to throw more than he's going to.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because when they were together in the past in San Francisco, they called kind of a balanced offense, but the Niners were so good. Remember, they went to the Super Bowl. They were ahead often like they are now under Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
And they were able to run the clock out in the second half a lot. So it made their numbers look a little different than they actually were. So I'm curious how that looks in LA. I mean, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Theoretically, you should want to pass the football. Yep. So, but then again, their personnel move so far suggests they're not going to. But I think maybe we'll get an indicator with this pick. If they do take one of the top three receivers instead of offensive line, then maybe it's going to be more balanced than we think. But it's kind of weird. Receiver is a bigger need than tackle for them. And yet,
yes,
everyone's projecting tackle because of their other personnel moves and thinking they're going to run the football. So that's going to be one of the big moves in the draft. It's going to kind of point me in a direction of how to project that offense.
Yeah, this is it's a very interesting offense. Now that Harbaugh has taken over with the guys that have left this team, what's it going to look like in 2024?
Every year there's a few teams like that where it's just a completely different team. Yeah. We talk about Atlanta. They're the most obvious one. They're going to look way different than they have in years past, but the Chargers will as well.
Yep. All right, moving ahead. Pick number 12, fill in the void for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, Russell Wilson has left this team. They have pick number 12. And when I look at this roster, Mike, I got to tell you, I don't love it. I don't love this Broncos roster.
No.
There's a lot of holes to fill. There's not just one hole. This is another one where it should be parentheses S. Mm-hmm. You look at the quarterback, Jarrett Stidham is the guy there. Javonte Williams, man, we all have high hopes for him to come back and continue to be the running back that we thought he could be early in his career before some injuries.
Yeah, year two back from that knee injury. This is the year. We're going to find out if he has it.
And then as wide receivers, he's got Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, who was the exciting rookie from last year. Didn't see him as much as we had wanted. Hopefully he gets more run in year two. And then Josh Reynolds from my Detroit Lions.
Tim Patrick. Don't forget Tim Patrick coming off that injury too. So they have some receiver depth there.
So to me, it seems obvious. No offense to Jarrett Stidham, but you got to go out and you got to find yourself.
You can offend these guys. They're back. Well, offend them, okay? Sam Darnold, Jarrett Stidham, these are backups.
This is where it's at. You're making a lot of money. Maybe you shouldn't be offended by what I'm saying here. But the Broncos need to go out and find themselves a quarterback. I think Mel and Todd, when I look at what they did, Mel went a different direction. Mel took a cornerback in his latest mock draft. Field, though, went with Bo Nix out of Oregon. So I'm curious, understanding what those two draft gurus did, what would Mike Clay do in this situation?
Look, you're going to go into the season with Jarrett Stidham as your quarterback and compete in the AFC?
I don't think I would.
So what I better, you have two options. You trade take up. The best quarterback available there, or you trade up for one of the top guys. Depends on who you like. So I do think they take a quarterback in the middle of the first round, early in the first round. And the best guy on the board when they're up, I believe, will be Bo Nix. So that's what I went with the 12th overall pick. It's a guy with a lot of experience, and he was outstanding last year. Think about all the quarterbacks we already talked about. Bo Nix had the best-in-class marks and passing touchdowns. He had 45. He was first in completion rate at 77%, lowest interception rate, lowest sack rate, which is actually an interesting one as it pertains to quarterbacks, and the lowest off-target rate. Very low average depth of throw. He's conservative, but Sean Payton had a lot of success with a low ADOT guy in Drew Brees in New Orleans, so he could actually be a really nice fit, can run it a little bit. So that's an interesting fit for me. If Denver and Payton like Bo Nix, I think that's a natural fit right there early in the first round.
I mean, low ADOT, which I get. You want to be able to push the ball down the field in the NFL. I understand that. But you're talking about such a high completion percentage, limiting turnovers. I mean, these are things that within an NFL offense, you don't just need a quarterback that can sling it 70 yards. Sometimes you need a guy that can make sure he's not turning the football over. Mm-hmm. So, Bo Nix has a lot to offer. I think coming to this Denver Broncos team would make a lot of sense for both him and the Broncos. I think it makes too much sense. I think both of us going Bo Nix here, filling the void with the number 12 overall pick. From a pure draft value standpoint, 12th overall is high for me for Bo Nix. But based on the idea that you've got to get your quarterback, you got to do what you got to do when it comes to the draft.
Yeah, and it's interesting because sometimes as an industry, everyone doing the mock drafts, there's a lot of groupthink. You kind of see that. And then the quarterbacks go way later than we expected, or vice versa. They go way earlier. At this point, a few years ago, Daniel Jones was not considered a first-round prospect. A lot of people were mocking him in the second. He went, fifth overall to the Giants? And then, a couple of years ago, we had Malik Willis was the second overall pick in mock drafts, and he fell to the third round. Yeah. And Sam Howell, same kind of thing. So that's always tricky. Who knows? Maybe Bo Nix goes in the third round. Maybe he goes eighth overall. We don't know at this point. But the fact is Denver cannot go into the season with Jarrett Stidham. It's just going to be, all right, he threw another pick. Let's give Ben DiNucci a shot. It's over. The season's over. You can't do that. You cannot do that.
All right, Mike, let's take that same energy and talk about pick number 13.
Yeah, see, this is what's interesting.
Las Vegas Raiders.
So many teams need a quarterback, but not everyone can get one, right?
I know.
And then that's where the Raiders come in.
So we're at pick 13 in the first round, right? With the way that we're talking about this, top three quarterbacks have already come off the board. Picks 1, 2, and 3. And then we've also got J.J. McCarthy already off the board. And with this, we took Bo Nix with pick 12 to the Denver Broncos. You get to the Raiders, who are 13, and their roster doesn't stack up super favorably either when you look at it. They've got Aiden O'Connell under center.
Or Gardner Minshew. He's there as well.
Yep. Exactly. One of those two guys. Zamir White and Alexander Mattison. They're two running backs as of right now. Devontae Adams, a superstar, but starting to come down with the age. I mean, he's been in this league for a long time. Mm-hmm. Love Jacoby Myers, an underrated guy. And then Michael Mayer, someone that we really liked as a high tight end, even though he wasn't the rookie tight end that took the season by storm or the league by storm last year.
Who was that?
Well, it was Sam LaPorta, Mike. I got to tell you, Sam LaPorta looked
I can't even
good.
Say Lions bias anymore.
I know.
It's fair. True. I mean, maybe the best rookie tight end season ever. Yeah.
But I'm at a spot where I look at this and it's like, okay, pick 13. Mellon Field, when you look at it, pick 13, they're going offensive tackle. This team needs to be able to shore up that offensive line, not just for their quarterback, whoever it is, but also for the running game. And then you get to pick 36. Fields Yates, in his latest mock, has Michael Penix Jr. coming off the board with a trade to Washington. And if Michael Penix is available there at 36, Mike, I think it makes a ton of sense for the Raiders to pull the trigger and go this route. What would you do?
Yeah, I could see them doing that. I actually just had them staying put and taking him with the 12th pick of the second round, 44th overall. I don't know if that's going to do the trick, but that's where at least what I projected. So
still liking to fill the void, though, with a quarterback.
I think they try to find a quarterback at some point. I don't know when, but again, could they just go with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew? Maybe. I mean, Minshew held down the four last year. It's not a great situation, but if you don't feel like you like Penix and the other guys are gone, you might have to stay put. Which is what I said earlier. It puts him in kind of a tough position. So yeah, Penix kind of polarizing. He's an older prospect. He's had a lot of major injuries. He's just kind of a pocket quarterback at this point. So, but again, sometimes you got to throw darts if you don't have a quarterback, and that might be the answer for them. So I have them going with Penix in the second round, but also another running back you may have noticed, or another void there you may have noticed, was at running back. Is Zamir White the future there? Alex Mattison was not a lead back in Minnesota. Not. We learned that very quickly last year. So this gives me an opportunity to talk about a running back sleeper. You know, I love running back sleepers.
I do know you love Jordan
Howards and Chris Carsons. Love these guys, right? So a guy that I really like is Isaac Garendo from Louisville, 6'2", 221. Really fast. So think about that. He's 6'2", 221.
Okay.
What do you think his 40-yard dash was at the combine?
It's probably
221 pounds. Don't cheat.
Well, I was going to say it's probably like a Kalen Ballage type number.
No, it's 4.33.
Whoa.
4.33 at 220 is unbelievable. He kind of reminds me of Chris Carson a little bit in that he never had a big workload in college. So that's yet to be seen. But his efficiency was kind of average. But that size speed compliment, you just think Raiders, right? It's the Al Davis way.
Absolutely.
Let's get this big fast guy. So I have him. That's a fifth rounder. I like him more than that. But I think that's a day three running back. You add him into that competition with those two backs as well as Amir Abdullah. They might stay put at running back this year as well with White and White, Abdullah and Madison. But if they take a shot, I think it's a day three guy.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the way that Michael Mayer takes a step, hopefully in year two, and seeing what he can do. And like I said, Jacoby Myers, I really like him from a wide receiver perspective. Devontae Adams, I would like to know what they're going to do for the future of that position, but like that is not as important as finding the next quarterback for this team.
Yeah, so and they do actually need some depth there. So they could be looking to the future receiver. You saw Trey Tucker on there as their three, so they do need depth, but it's a deep class, so don't be surprised if on day two, they make a big splash for a wide receiver.
Yep. All right, let's move ahead. Our producer, Tyler, is a huge Bengals fan, massive Bengals fan. Joe Mixon, unfortunately, has left his team. So they're at a situation where they're going to have to find a new running back. Right now, they did bring in Zach Moss, right?
That's another guy I liked. Slow start to his career, but
it was a slow start. Do you think? But it doesn't feel like that's going to be the only thing. You look at their roster. Joe Burrow, obviously under center for them. Wide receivers: Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Andre Yasova, Trent Irwin, Mike Gesicki coming in as the tight end this week or this year. Excuse me. Yeah. That's one of those things where, like, I think we've had this conversation. Mike Gesicki, in theory, like, should be so great in this offense because he's basically just a wide receiver, but it never really materializes for fantasy the way that we want it to.
No, he's had opportunities elsewhere and has not panned out. Of course, Miami, a lot of opportunity there and just wasn't the guy. It didn't work out in New England. You know, he's had opportunities and was not featured. So I don't even know if he's going to start. He might just be a situational red zone target. They have Tanner Hudson there. Drew Sample's back as a blocker. So I would not get Mike carried away with Mike Gesicki at all.
I agree with you on that. I think that leaves us in one of two spots. You're either looking to potentially replace Joe Mixon, to add someone to that Zach Moss backfield, or you could potentially say that T. Higgins might not be long for this team. And do we want to look at maybe adding another pass catcher as a part of this? So you look at what Mel Kiper Jr. and Field have done on their latest mocks. Mel went with a defensive tackle, shoring up the defensive line there. Field, though, Brian Thomas Jr., grabbing the wide receiver, 6'3", runs at that awesome 4.3 40. I mean, he's a big guy coming out of LSU. Looked really good at the combine, Mike Clay. If you're taking Brian Thomas here, to me, that makes me think that you're planning on life without T. Higgins in
down
the near
the
future.
Road. Yeah, maybe after next year. I think they have other voids. I don't know if they'll go receiver. I don't know if you mentioned Tyler Boyd.
No longer there.
He's still a free agent, so he could always come back at a discount. So We'll keep an eye on that. I don't know if they'll go wide receiver that early. I know Mel had them taking a receiver later in the draft, which makes more sense to me.
In part because, like you had said, it is a deep wide receiver class. We talk about the names at the top because they're really good, but like there is a lot of names the deeper that you get. So
yeah, I'm with you. So again, I don't view that as a massive need. I mean, teams would be like, I don't care who my three is. If I have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, like I'm good. So, but I do think running back is a spot they will address. And I have them actually doing that on day two in the third round. Marshawn Lloyd is one of my favorite running back prospects out of USC. Again, 5'9", 220, has the size to be a lead back, a quick, fast, ran a 4.4, 6.40, again, at 220 pounds. But he has the best efficiency profile in this running back class, believe it or not. His yards after contact, third, forced missed tackle rate, first in this class. Has injury issues, some fumble issues, but and we'll see if that ends up costing him in the pros. But a nice thing is about Cincinnati, if they take him in the third round, first of all, we're going to love him as a fantasy sleeper in that situation because he's going to be the best raw talent probably in that backfield. But it doesn't have to necessarily be the guy day one because, again, they do have Zach Moss, who filled in great for Jonathan Taylor last season, and Chase Brown, who's been kind of a playmaker as a change of pace guy. So I think that would be a really good landing spot for any running back. And I like Lloyd a lot. So don't be surprised if he's picked on day two.
I just want to say I'm with you on whatever running back you want to talk about, especially guys that are that deep. Mm-hmm. I don't know running backs that deep into the draft right now, Mike.
Look, in your defense, you're studying UFL guys now.
You want to talk about CJ Maribel? I can talk about CJ Maribel.
I remember him from, 5 years ago when he came into the league?
Are you in on the whole Jake Bates like bandwagon? Are you in on this?
I know what that means.
Jake
I know
Bates
what a Jake
Bates
is.
Back-to-back 60-yard field goals.
Is that right?
In the UFL. Has I am, 64-yarder and a 62-yarder. So anyways, I'm following you when it comes to running backs. I'll dive deeper into the running back position, but right now I'm all in on UFL here. All right, let's talk Cowboys next.
All right,
pick
here's a fun
number one. 24.
One of the biggest voids in all of fantasy right now.
Huge.
Quarterback, quarterback's obviously a huge one, but from a strictly fantasy perspective, if you're trying to identify who will the top scoring fantasy player be next year, top receivers probably stand out, but if it's going to be a running back that kind of ascends to that post, it might be the Dallas Cowboys running back.
Yeah, because that offense is fantastic. Looked fantastic last year with Dak Prescott under center. And right now, they do not have Tony Pollard. The two running backs that we're looking at are Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn. The wide receivers, you got CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, Jake Ferguson we like at the tight end position. But it's so obvious when you look at this roster, the glaring hole, the only void it feels like they have is the running back position.
You saw, if you're watching the video, the end was missing from Vaughn there. That's the end. No running back because we don't have a starter right now. So it could be a rookie. I was sitting here trying to think of a joke for that. That was the best I could do.
Are they going to bring Zeke back? Like, is that a chance?
Maybe.
Do we do a reunion?
I think Zeke rookie backfield makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out.
But more committee related.
But regardless, I think they address it early in the draft.
So they got the 24th overall pick in the first round.
Too early.
Too early for a running back, especially this year, right? That's one of the things that we learned. If you look at what Mel and Field did, they both had him going with the offensive tackle position, which makes a ton of sense. Tyron Smith now moving to the Jets, so they got to shore up that offensive line.
They lost their center as well to Washington. That line is actually very suspect right now. It's kind of sneaks up on you.
Yep.
So they've work to do there.
But they do have at pick 56, Jonathan Brooks from Texas. I think the number one running back in this class, Mike, coming off the board.
I think so.
It feels like this would be a really good marriage right here if he was able to make it that far.
Yeah, I think there's probably three running backs in that top tier. Brooks has been knocked a bit because he's coming off a torn ACL. Yep. It looks like it was a clean break and he'll be good to go for next season. Something I really like about him, very young relative to these other guys. Only 21 years old, plenty of time to get healthy and get rolling. So I like him a lot. Also, we just saw Breece Hall come off an ACL and have a terrific season last year. He was a fantasy superstar in a good situation in New York. Bad offense, but in a situation where very involved in the passing game and as a runner and a top-end talent. Brooks on tape looks fantastic. He looks like a future star running back. And again, if he goes to Dallas, there's opportunity there right now with very little competition. So keeping an eye on that. Three-down ability. He can catch the ball. He can run it. So as long as the recovery continues and he's healthy and he's ready to go, I'm with you. I have Brooks going to Dallas in the second round. That would be a dream landing spot for any of these backs.
Makes too much sense as long as he lasts that far. And this is one of the draft day questions that I'm very intrigued in watching. When is the first running back going to come off the board? Because this is not like we've had in recent years where it was Breece Hall, you know, first round pick potentially, or Bijan Robinson, like very clearly going to be a top 10 pick. It's a different kind of running back class this year. So interested to see how that's going to work out. All right, moving ahead. We got one more void to fill, and it's with the Buffalo Bills. Mike?
Yeah, what could this be?
Yeah, seriously. Oh, you know what? Obviously, there's no one to throw the football to.
I think you're going to say no one to throw the football because you don't like Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is
the only Josh Allen hater.
And they have Mitch Trubisky as well, so they certainly don't need a quarterback. No, they got James Cook as their running back. He is one of the exciting young prospects at the running back position in the NFL. And then you look at the wide receivers.
Oh, boy.
Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Justin Shorter, Andy Isabella, Dalton Kincaid.
Mac Hollins, or how about this? KJ Hamler. Remember him? That's who's competing right now.
You know, we used to have Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis there. They're both now in different places. So we're at a spot where the Bills need that big guy. Right now, it kind of feels like Dalton Kincaid would be the... I realize maybe Curtis Samuel is going to get more targets. I don't know. What does your projection say?
Yeah, I mean, I bumped him
Dalton
up for
Kincaid
now.
Kincaid is like, he's got five more targets than Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
But
I bumped up. Once they traded Stephon Diggs, part of it was bumping up more back to more 12 personnel like last year. We have Amar Dawson Knox on the field for now, but that could obviously change back. If they address this position, I think it's one of the safest bets in this draft is that Buffalo will address receiver with their first round pick.
At least once they need to. I think they should address it more than one time.
I think they can take
a couple wide receivers, especially in this deep wide receiver.
I think so.
Class.
I mean, it probably depends on what you think of Khalil Shakir. Do you believe he's a top three receiver? If so, then you go with him. You go with Curtis Samuel and you go with whoever you draft in the first round. But I agree. They might not be done there. After the first receiver.
So when I look at this, Mel Kiper has him taking Brian Thomas, and Fields Yates has him going Xavier Worthy, the kid that ran 4.21 at the combine, the speedster. I'm interested. I get that. I have both of those guys, unfortunately, already drafted based on the board that I have done with you. So I went with Troy Franklin and Xavier Leggett here with this one. Which direction would you go at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, so I have Adonai Mitchell,
He went to...
Yeah, where'd you... You had him going at the top somewhere else, but same part of the draft, so late in the first round.
The Chargers. Yeah, with their...
You had him going to the Chargers, right. I have him going to Buffalo here, 6'2", 205, comes out of Texas, big, fast perimeter receiver, very high average depth of target in college. They use him as a vertical target. Very similar to... Fast, by the way, good broad jump, had a good combine, but... More Gabe Davis than Stephon Diggs. So you're right, they might need maybe Curtis Samuel is the possession guy and Kincaid in the short and intermediate area.
Yeah.
And then Mitchell's your lid lifter could be the scenario. So I don't know. Mitchell, if he's used like that, he's going to have limited PPR value, more value in non-PPR if he's used that way. But they got to get somebody. They have to get a playmaker in this offense.
I don't know why. I just love the term lid lifter. Like, it's lid my lifter? Favorite thing now. Yeah.
That's fun. That's a fun phrase.
It is, I think, because of the alliteration for lid lifter. You know what I mean? So that'll be a good one. But yeah, the Bills, obviously, I mean, to go from Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, it didn't feel like ever fully realized what we were hoping for from that, like, potential, right? But still, it's a big drop there. They got to shore up that wide receiver position, give Josh Allen someone to throw the football to.
I'm with you.
And I think that's our show, Mike.
Is it, though? Is it?
We just went... Wait, is it not?
You know, we didn't talk about, you know, cut here just real quick. Just a couple guys we did not put on teams, other top guys. So I'm looking at my rankings, my rookie rankings. So we have Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. We put them all on teams, right?
Yep.
We did not put Brock Bowers on a team.
Which,
you know, what's interesting about that is almost everyone is mocking him to the Jets.
Yeah.
With that 10th overall pick. But that's not like, you don't look at the Jets roster and say tight end's a big problem because Tyler Conklin's a good player. Yeah. He's a good underrated player. Would not be surprising at all if they address that spot. They have depth issues at receiver.
Pretty sure aren't they signing Bubba Franks and
Jermichael Finley.
Yes, there you go.
All former Packers, of course. Yeah, so but that would be a fun one too. Again, you don't view it as a major need, but it would be awesome. It would lift that offense.
Would that be, if he goes there, does he have a lower ceiling because he's splitting time with Breece Hall, who's going to get a ton of touches, and Garrett Wilson? Like, do we want him to go to maybe a worse offense, maybe?
Not necessarily. I mean, I could see Garrett Wilson leading the NFL in touchdown catches because this offense is going to throw it plenty. They leaned toward the pass last year, game script adjusted.
Is this 2023 Mike Clay or 2024 Mike Clay telling me this about Garrett Wilson?
Look, I'm going to play this game.
I love you so much. I'm so sorry.
Aaron Rodgers lasted, what, 3 minutes of the season? I struggle at that.
No, I know. Because you
that
can't,
was so.
You
I wish we.
That's not a bad take.
I wish we had like a month at least of those two.
I know.
We have a better assessment. Like if they were struggling and then he got hurt, and I would be like, all right, that's a no. But it's hard to say. So, I think going there would be great. I mean, Mike Williams might. You know, we already know he's boom bust. Garrett Wilson's going to be busy. Hall's targets will go down. There's no doubt about that. They just had to throw to him last year. And then after that, who is it? You know, I think there's plenty of room for Brock Bowers to be busy in that offense.
We should have him go to pick 11 to the Chargers because Jim Harbaugh needs a good blocking tight end there.
Mm, oh, God.
That's going to be just an Arthur Smith joke.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You never know with tight ends. Sometimes they Sam Laporta. Sometimes it takes them a few years, like Ingram and Njoku. Like it took them a while to become a consistent fantasy star. So
Evan Ingram, I think, is one of those like under the radar. He is so much better than he gets credit for with what he's done. And I've talked about this a bunch. Like he's not a touchdown maker. He's a chain mover. But if you're playing in a PPR league and he's getting you 90 catches and 900 yards.
There's so many tight ends like that. I mean, Dallas Goedert's another one. Uh-huh. It's just like if he scores 6 touchdowns, you're like, wow, that's great. I'll take that. That's a big number. That's a fine number for even a tight end one. So
yeah,
I'm with you. So a lot of upside there. Brian Thomas, we briefly mentioned him, but he's another guy that could go middle of the first round. Yep. We mentioned Ladd McConkey. I have him 6th on my board. And named Mitchell. The quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. How about Keon Coleman?
Did not mention. We didn't
mention him out of Florida State. That's another guy that could slip into the first round and land on.
I'm hoping he goes second round to my Detroit Lions. Actually, I would love to have a bigger bodied wide receiver like that.
Yeah, because you need some competition there, right? Yeah. So yeah, they
That's
have
right. Amon-Ra, J-Mo, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, so we don't know what we're going to get out of Jameson Williams, who's the real.
This is it. I mean, this season is the season where like J-Mo's got to step up. They've had. If you look at the big plays he had last year, you see the potential, but they've got to find ways to manufacture touches on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they got to go a different direction.
Yep. So Coleman, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett, you're hearing all your, that's 9 receivers in my top 12. That shows you all those guys are candidates to go in the first round. Jonathan Brooks, we mentioned.
So but, after mentioning 15 players, you finally mentioned the first running back.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, 13.
Okay.
He's on the board, 13. But Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, they're the other two in my top tier at running back. Those could be day two draft picks that make an impact in fantasy right away. Troy Franklin, I've seen him go in the first round of mocks. Yep. Roman Wilson, I think Mel projected to Buffalo. I believe it was in the second round. Bucky Irving, so that's about all I got. Receiver, I keep going. We're gonna get into the fourth round and have receivers that are like, I love that guy. He should have been a second round pick. So, there's a few guys we didn't mention there, but a lot of good fantasy options going to come off the board here in a
very
couple weeks.
Deep. This is exciting from a dynasty or keeper perspective. This is one of the deeper classes from a fantasy asset perspective. I think is going to be very fun this year to look at. So a lot of names, names coming off the board. Mike, thanks for hanging out with me, dude.
Of course.
This was fun. Yeah. I appreciate it. We're going to be back next Friday again, potentially. We'll see what time.
We'll
not
be
totally
here.
Sure.
The show will be here. Who will be here?
That's
the question.
That
it's a mystery. That's why you tune in. That's
I'll
why people
tell you
tune
what,
in.
I will be here. I know that Daniel will be here.
Okay.
And I'm
committed.
So I will. Good. I am committed to the show. We'll see who else is going to be here with me. But obviously, we got a lot of stuff going on. Draft is happening, so people are all over the place. But I appreciate you being here with me, bud.
Yeah, it's always fun, buddy.
Thanks for hanging out with me. Follow Mike on the X at Mike Clay NFL. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself and wear sunscreen.
Is that right? Right now?
Stay cool.
It's not.
We'll see you guys
later. It's not
later.
Too hot out yet. Do we need
no, it's not, but it's just really good
it's
for your skin.
It's raining today.
It's one of those things. It's one of the only things that helps prevent your skin from getting like all old and haggard from the sun.
All right, that's fair. I mean, it's that time of the year now where it's like we get teased with a 70-degree day, and then it goes right back to rainy and 45.
I know.
And I hate that.
Yeah, that's
bring
the
me summer. I'm ready.
Yeah.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up